Last week when we got ready to do our thing dealing with somebody's question about the age of the earth and dinosaurs and all that kind of stuff, you'll recall at the very beginning I had two or three folks say, wait a minute, I thought we were going to continue with some of these other religions and mention Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses specifically. So wanted to, and actually a few years, well, 6 years ago, we talked some about Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons on the same night. It's in the archives. But I didn't go back and listen to him because I don't know if that guy had anything worth listening to say or not. Since it was me, yeah, but yes, it was. But Mormonism was founded in 1830. Okay. By whom?
Brigham Young.
Joseph Smith. Brigham Young is an offshoot. In fact, there are some Mormons. There's one group of Mormons who actually has, they've now changed their name to the Community of Christ. Did that in 2001. But who claimed that the only true Mormons were the ones who followed Joseph Smith III, and that those who followed Brigham Young were actually heretics and not true Mormons. That he had kind of stolen it away from. Well, they've also got the name of the college just escaped me. In Indiana, starts with an R. Oh, what's the name of that school in Indiana? Anyway, it'll come to me after we finish, and I'm on the way home. But they're over 5.2 million. Mormons in the world, also Latter-day Saints, as they are known, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And in a lot of ways, if you start looking at some early Mormon tradition and some of their articles of faith, it sounds very much like Protestant Christianity. At least at the root, it does. But they change some of those things. Some of the tenets seem like that, but then they change. Just to give you, these are the 13 articles of faith. We may stop along the way, ask questions, and talk about them. But these are the articles of faith that were supposedly inspired and written down by Joseph Smith and passed on as the basics of Mormon doctrine, the basics of Mormonism. First, Joseph Smith was considered the prophet, and he was considered the prophet who was to deliver, to correct all the heretical teachings of other churches and put forth this prophecy and these teachings of Mormonism. He, well, he was taken by an angel, Moroni, and was given. And I have not been politically correct sometimes in the past by saying, and I think they just flip the I over. It should be moron exclamation point instead of moron E. But 1830 in New York, upstate New York. He said that the angel Moroni led him to the golden plates, which then the hieroglyphics on that were a strange language, and he was given the ability to interpret that and write it down, etc. By the way, Joseph Smith was not the last of the prophets, though. Mormons believe that the prophecy and the prophets continue, and so whoever is the true president, has the presidency of Mormonism, is still considered a living apostle and living prophet. He got disillusioned with religion and how it was going. And interesting, you mentioned King James. That's the version that's read by Mormons. They don't want to read other versions. It's King James and the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon actually is the Book of Mormon. And I'll mention this again in a few moments. Book of Mormon supposedly completes the Bible. It's another testament of Jesus Christ. The Bible is incomplete because it doesn't deal with the followers over here on the American continent. He was crucified. He was resurrected. Salvation comes through him. However, he is not divine. He is Son of God only as in a human. In fact, at their very first article of faith is, we believe in God, the eternal Father, and in His Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Ghost. However, God has a body, flesh and bones. God was a man on another planet serving under another God, and He kept the laws and obeyed that God so much and so well that He was offered the ability to be a God over another world. And so He is God over this world. Jesus is His begotten Son, begotten in the Spirit, yes, but also of the flesh. And actually, some Mormon teachings state that begotten by God had a consort, a goddess, and that's from whom Jesus was born. Also, that one of their teachings states the first spirit child was Jesus. The devil was born in spirit after Jesus in the morning of preexistence. So they're spirit brothers.
Well, now, do they not believe in the virgin birth then?
Praise God. Yes, God.
Mary. No, not with Mary and none. Jesus. The birth was normal, just like any other human being. And in fact, some of the Mormon doctrines in their doctrine of faith says that the pregnancy took place in a normal fashion, and Jesus was born as a normal human being.
I don't see how that could be Christian then.
All right, it happened over in Palestine. So, you know, they teach that God was a man on another planet, that God, when God came here, was given this planet to rule over as God, and this part of the solar system, by that other God that was out there, that He brought a female consort, a goddess. But then later, Jesus' physical birth was through normal means, normal conception, and a normal birth.
What do they think his mother's name was when she had him here on this earth?
Oh, it was Mary, but she wasn't a virgin.
How did it take them 1,800 years to figure this out?
Because according to Joseph Smith, the angel informed him that the devil had actually caused the churches to, and the church as a whole, the great church as a whole, to misuse doctrine and had led them astray. In fact, when it comes to, and this is straight out of one of their doctrines, salvation in the miracle of forgiveness. One of the most fallacious doctrines originated by Satan and propounded by man is that man is saved alone by the grace of God. That belief in Jesus Christ alone is all that is needed for salvation. In the book Mormon Doctrine, page 193, it says, a plan of salvation was needed for the people of the earth. So Jesus offered a plan to the Father, and Satan offered a plan to the Father, but Jesus' plan was accepted. In effect, the devil wanted to be the Savior of all mankind and deny men their agency and to dethrone God. Jesus' sacrifice was not able to cleanse us from all our sins. Murder and repeated adultery are exceptions. Good works are necessary for salvation. There is no salvation without accepting Joseph Smith as a prophet of God. The first effect of the atonement is to secure to all mankind alike exemption from the penalty of the fall, thus providing a plan of general salvation. The second effect is to open a way for individual salvation, whereby mankind may secure remission for personal sins. And what the devil was born of the Spirit, the devil presented a plan. According to those teachings, the devil presented a plan to save mankind. Jesus presented a plan. The two spirit brothers did that. Jesus' plan was accepted, and so the devil got upset, and that's why he tried to mess up the doctrine, and so what Joseph Smith was giving was correct doctrine.
I read somewhere one time that they believe everybody goes to heaven and that everybody is a god, except some of us are smaller gods than others. Is that?
Well, you have the potential to become a god. You don't necessarily become a god, but you have the potential to become a god, but only if you are of the priesthood of Melchizedek. Every male is ordained into it at some point, is ordained into the priesthood of Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood. If you do well enough and you want to pursue it and go through certain courses and testing and all that kind of stuff, you could potentially become in the priesthood of Melchizedek. And if during your lifetime you are good enough in keeping the laws, giving charity, all of this kind of stuff, you could possibly, after you die in this life, Because what happens is we are all spirit children from God and the Mother Goddess. We're all spirit children, and then we get born into this world. So that's the spirit that's eternal. So that spirit's eternal. And if we're good enough, then we could potentially go on to be another God. But at the end, at some point, even if we have to be purged for a while, eventually those spirits return back to heaven.
Well, you're talking about male supremacy there.
But there is male supremacy.
And does that lead to why they had polygamy with many wives and everything else too, and that sort of thing? And is, the only reason they don't do it in the United States is because there's a federal law against it now. And
well, you've never watched that program, Sister Wives, on cable then. Well, he went further south for a while, but they eventually settled in Salt Lake after being run out of Missouri and being run out of Indiana. They left upstate New York and eventually went to Indiana and tried to establish Zion there, and they got run out of there, and they went to Missouri and got run out of there. So Zion is in Salt Lake City. And eventually Jesus will come back and will rule in both Zion, Salt Lake City, and Jerusalem. Because there are two different groups of his followers. There were those that were in Palestine, but then there were the lost tribes of Israel that were came across the sea and were on this continent. And so when Jesus left the earth, and I always like to ask this question when I'm talking with Mormons, they say, you know, no, Jesus left the earth in Palestine. He was taken up into the heavens, but then he came back down over here to teach the ones in America. And I said, so then he left again? They said, yeah. I said, well, wait a minute. He's been here twice, so I guess we just missed out. But the Father and the Son both have bodies of flesh and bone, just like we do. The Holy Spirit is at the same purpose with the Father and the Son, but is a totally separate being and is not part of a Trinity. In fact, there's the Godhead, but there are three separate individuals, not God in three persons, but three separate individuals. God the Father, who's the chief God, God the Son, who's the second in command, and then the Holy Spirit, who would be further down. Right. They don't. And they don't, you know, that's the no-hell church. Yeah. Also, we believe that men will be punished for their own sins and not for Adam's transgression. So, you know, anybody who holds to the doctrine of original sin, they say the doctrine of original sin is heretical. That, yes, Adam sinned, but every person sins, and so each person, but we believe people will be punished for their own sins, not for the sins of somebody else. So see, there are places where it sounds like Christian teaching, but then it veers off, from that Christian teaching. And by the way, these 13 articles of faith, they're taught to Mormons from the time they're just pups all the way up. And they're to memorize them and live by them and etc. We believe that through the atonement of Christ, all mankind may be saved by obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel. However, the caveat to that is, but without Joseph Smith and the restoration, there would be no salvation. There is no full salvation, including exaltation to godhood, outside of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's from their doctrine.
They don't believe Jesus died and crucified.
Yes, Jesus was crucified and Jesus was resurrected, but Jesus wasn't divine. Jesus had flesh and bone, and he was brought up by God because he was obedient to that. But that's only one step in the atonement. Their teaching in their book of doctrine is that without recognizing Joseph Smith and his teachings as a fuller revelation, then there is no salvation, no total salvation, and there is no salvation outside the Latter-day Saints Church. That's in their official doctrine.
Was this angel Moroni only mentioned by Joseph Smith?
Yes.
Okay. He's the only one
to
say this angel?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay.
He's the only one.
Yeah.
We believe that the first principles and ordinances of the gospel are, first, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, repentance. Third, baptism by immersion for the remission of sins. Fourth, the laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Spirit. So those are the four primary things that are necessary to be saved and to be a good Mormon. to be a part of that. They do believe in the gifts of the Spirit, especially the gift, number seven. We believe in the gift of tongues, prophecy, revelation, visions, healings, interpretations of tongues, and so forth. But that, the authority comes from the top down, the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the living prophet and living apostle, who works his way and eventually ascends to the presidency. We believe that a man must be called of God by prophecy and by laying on of hands by those who are in authority to preach the gospel and administer in the ordinances thereof. And they do have ordinances which include baptism and other things. They even do baptism by proxy. Because everyone is a spirit child and everyone should have the, everyone has the opportunity or is supposed to have the opportunity to hear the gospel and to go and be in heaven. Even those who were dead. And so they baptize for the dead. People stand in as a substitute for those who have died and have not had an opportunity. And they base this in part on 1 Peter. Chapter 4. Let's see. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, then it gives a list. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead, for this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the Spirit. That's verse 6, that last verse. This is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead. There are teachings in Jesus, and it comes about in the Apostles' Creed. Some people don't like, and he descended into hell, but he descended into Hades or whatever. But the idea is that Jesus went to the gates of Hades or the gates of hell, and there he preached to the souls who were imprisoned. And so they say, well, if he went and preached the gospel to the souls that were in prison and gave them an opportunity, then everyone who is dead that has not had an opportunity to hear or to make a decision. They may have heard but not been given the opportunity to make a decision. Then they, too, have to have that opportunity to experience heaven and salvation. And so you can stand in for someone by name who is already dead and be baptized on their behalf and pledge your commitment to God on their behalf, thereby, just think, all these Roman Catholics spend all this time praying people out of purgatory. All you got to do is be baptized. That's what the Mormons say anyway.
Have they called everybody by name but, before they ever died?
No. But you can do that. But you can do that. You can be baptized because they teach baptism is necessary for ultimate salvation. Baptism and salvation for the dead is based on just what I said, that 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 6. And so, not just those, and that's one of the ordinances that those who are called through prophecy and ordained to administer the ordinances. One of the ordinances is baptism, but another one is baptism for the dead. And so, they develop this hierarchy that oversees all these kinds of things. There will be different times during the year that they will have these baptisms, baptism for people who are alive, and at that same time, if there is anyone who wants to be baptized for someone else by proxy, and they'll call that person's name or a series of persons. You can be baptized more than once. No, I'm not going there. You can be baptized more than once. But on behalf of someone else. But see, this is Joseph Smith who became disenchanted with religion as it was. And so he actually was out wandering in the forests and the mountains when all of this happened. And when the angel brought this to him. we believe in the same organization that existed in the primitive church, namely apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and so forth. In fact, in the priesthood, just to give you an idea, there are two priesthoods. As I said a while ago, the Aaronic priesthood. The priesthood of Aaron oversees the temporal affairs through bishops, priests, teachers, and deacons. They divide into a variety of things, including they divide into stakes, S-T-A-K-E-S, like you got a stake in something, which are geographic regions, and there are people who are over the stakes. But then they are also wards, and the ward is the local church or the local parish. A former candidate for president was a president over the local ward. That is, the church. Mitt was president over the local ward or the local parish where he went. And in fact, in the Aaronic priesthood, it is governed by three presiding bishops who supervise the members of the priesthood and the stakes, and who supervise the presidents and teachers and deacons in the wards. Then you've got the priesthood of Melchizedek. Remember Melchizedek in the Old Testament, priest of God Most High, King of Salem and priest of God Most High. Abraham gave him 10% of everything he owned. This is in Genesis. And that's where the whole idea of a tithe comes in. And then in Hebrews, the priesthood of Melchizedek, which was the high priesthood, is compared with the priesthood of Jesus, which is the heavenly priesthood. The high priesthood on earth was Melchizedek. And Jesus is superior. Well, if you get into the priesthood of Melchizedek, after you've been the Aaronic priesthood for a while, you cannot hope to go into Melchizedek until after you're 21. But you start out younger in the priesthood of Aaron, all males. Become part of that priesthood. Typically, the missionaries are anywhere from 18 to their mid-20s. I have occasionally run across one that was older, but most of them are between 18 and their mid-20s. And they have to go out and serve. They have to raise their own money, and they have to pay their own bills and all that kind of stuff. 2 year commitment.
Yeah, that's about the first thing they got to do when they graduate, and bring them young, isn't it?
Yes. They're expected to do either, if not the year before they graduate, and put off graduation. Because some of them will do that as they approach their senior year. They'll start in the summer, and they'll do that for 2 years, and then come back and finish the senior year.
I guess
but
they live pure Mormon too.
They don't like folks in there of other faiths. Well, you know, you have to. Well, you have to wonder. Ooh. That took care of the football team. But in that, there's the first presidency, the president of the Mormon Church, and two counselors are part of the first presidency, but the president is considered the living mouthpiece of God. He's called the living mouthpiece of God. And he gets all of the things that he passes on, he supposedly gets from divine revelation, face-to-face with God or voice-to-voice with God. God speaks directly to him and through him. He's the mouthpiece of God. He oversees the council of 12 apostles, who themselves are chosen by revelation. He receives the revelation that these should be the 12 apostles who supervise the work of the church in areas and regions and stakes. And then under that are two quorums of 70 overseers. The priesthood of Melchizedek is allowed to officiate in all the ordinances. They include the stake presidents, the ward bishops, the patriarchs, the high priests are all part of that. If this sounds kind of interesting and familiar, top down, it sounds very much like Roman Catholic Church or the Episcopal Church, top down. In fact, the Greek word in the New Testament is episkopos. The Greek word in the New Testament is episkopos, or the Episcopal form of church government. top-down form of church government. We believe the Bible to be the Word of God as far as it is translated correctly. We also believe the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God. It is more correct than the Bible. The Book of Mormon is another testament of Jesus Christ. It is the record of a remnant of the house of Israel, God's children who anciently inhabited the Western Hemisphere. We know it is true and that it can bring great understanding to you concerning your purpose for life on this earth. And, I mean, some of the books, and these are taken from the plates of Nephi. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ organizing His church and ordaining His disciples.
What do they think of the disciples? Do they sanctify them to a certain extent?
Yes, they do. Concerning this record, the prophet Joseph Smith said, the plates that he translated, I told the brethren that the Book of Mormon was the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone of our religion, and a man would get much nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than by any other book. Well, in their eyes, we are. They do. No, you cannot go into the. Ask Ken. Ask Ken. Right? You couldn't. You and Susan couldn't go into the temple proper. Right? Right. But typically, you're not allowed to. Yeah. Typically, you're not allowed if you're not Mormon to do that. And they're. There are two forms of marriage in Mormonism. One is temporal marriage. If you're married by a civil authority or anywhere other than in the Mormon temple. And you had to be at the one in Salt Lake. Now they have temples in other places, including outside of Atlanta and some other places. You can be married. If you're married by their priesthood in one of those temples, it is a celestial marriage. But the greatest celestial marriage, which means you're going to be married forever. You can't go to heaven and walk away because they're always tagging along. Or you're always chasing them down. Right. Right. Well, the female wears certain garments. The men wear certain garments too. And there are garments that they wear under their normal clothing, if they are, especially if they're the priesthood of Melchizedek, that they must wear at all times. Up when they take a shower. But there are those two. And in fact, if you think that you are going to attain the highest levels of salvation, so there are different levels of salvation too, and are different levels of heaven, then your marriage must take place in the temple. It must be a celestial marriage. Forever. And you too might at some point get to be a god. This is from one of their one of the doctrines. Then they shall be gods because they have no end, meaning that you were spirit children. We have our spirits.
What's the advantage of being a god and not being one?
Well, if you're good enough to become a god, you get to be god over another planet somewhere. The god, there are planets all throughout the solar system with life and God. But then shall they be gods because they have no end. Therefore shall they be from everlasting to everlasting because they continue. Then shall they be above all because all things are subject unto them. Remember when the garden, or in the creation story in Genesis 1, says that let them have dominion over the fish and the birds and the beasts and all that kind of stuff. Then shall they be gods because they have all power and the angels are subject to them. Because you have made them just a little bit lower than the angels. Or just a little bit lower than God, excuse me. So the angels are subject to humans. And so that's where they pick and choose these things. And the angel Moroni said, you too can become gods. By the way, I forgot a while ago, I was going to say something else. The reason the devil, going back to Islam, the reason, according to the Quran and according to their teachings, that the devil was kicked out was because when God made the first humans, all the angels bowed down to them, recognizing that ultimately they were superior and they were God's favorites. And Iblis, which is the Arabic name for Satan, refused to bow down, and that's why he was kicked out. Just kind of a little interesting side note. We believe that God has revealed all that he does. We believe all that God has revealed, all that he does now reveal, and we believe he will yet reveal many great and important things pertaining to the kingdom of God through the prophet. So in other words, the living prophet. So the revelation is not over, but it will come from the living apostle, the president. We believe in the literal gathering of Israel and in the restoration of the 10 tribes. So they're looking for that. That will precede the final end of the world. That Zion, the New Jerusalem, will be built upon the American continent, that Christ will reign personally upon the earth, and that the earth will be renewed and receive its paradisiacal glory. In other words, it'll be like paradise again. It'll be changed over. Which, go to Revelation. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. So see how those teachings are taken, and Joseph Smith knew enough about the religion he was disenchanted with, right? And knew where to look to pick things. We claim the privilege of worshiping Almighty God according to the dictates of our own conscience, and we allow all men the same privilege. Let them worship how, where, or what they may. Does that sound familiar? That's a basic tenet of Baptists, historically. We believe in being subject to kings, presidents, rulers, and magistrates, in obeying, honoring, and sustaining the law. Well, when you're in a church where the hierarchical structure goes from the top down. But then again, they would take, although they would say this, and this has more complete teachings, the Book of Mormon, they would take this and they would look at places where be subject to the authorities. Honor the emperor, as both Paul and the writer of Peter happened to say. We believe in being honest, true, chaste, benevolent, virtuous, and in doing good to all men. Indeed, we may say that we follow the admonition of Paul. We believe all things, hope all things, have endured many things, and hope to be able to endure all things. I don't think Paul said it quite that way. If there is anything virtuous, lovely, or of good report or praiseworthy, we seek after these things. And so, within Mormonism, there is this sense that, once again, you've got things that sound very much like they come straight out of a Christian church. And that's why Mormons will claim they are Christian. And they do believe in Jesus. And they believe he was crucified. And they believe he was resurrected. But then there are all these other conditions and things that are added on, which are aberrations to all of that. You know, and that it wasn't God's plan that Jesus should die. It was a plan that Jesus submitted. And the devil submitted another one because he wanted to dethrone God. We could say more. Do y'all have questions or anything that you would, that you've run across with Mormons?
I taught school after I retired from public school. I taught school at a private school in which the Mormons owned it. They never prospered.
Right.
They had a good reason not to. Tuition was $7,000 a month. So it was money to them, and not going to anger anybody. And it was troubled children of movie stars, children, all, you name it. Psychiatrists. How can a psychiatrist have a child?
Yes, sir.
It was
a psychiatrist with a crazy child? Yeah.
I guess it's.
In the U.S.
They had about 8 of these all around the world, all around the country. I mean, these children.
Well,
I will say this for those parents. I mean, they had money. I mean, when you pay, I've seen them sit down and write a $60,000 check and not bat an eye. The parents, movie stars' children, movie stars would come down there. You know, they visit their children, and These people would say, I am my child's problem. I caused it and couldn't. And most of us children, that the recidivism rate was very low. I mean, but anyway, the Mormons, when they, every Sunday, they would have they'd have a church service.
Right,
but
right.
To my knowledge, they never had a Mormon there. They had any churches, any Baptist, mm-hmm. you name it. You know, they'd have a little right. service there. But it was voluntary. You know, it was completely voluntary.
Right.
Of course, they served. Goodies and because that's the reason the kids.
Well, and you know, and they don't really proselyte.
No, they didn't there. I mean, they had a good.
They don't proselyte a whole lot.
They weren't going to anger parents after who were paying
$7,000. Well, and they and you know, and they really charity. I mean, charity work of Mormons. I mean, just it's tremendous.
One
giving back.
One of the, for a better term. Big wheels in the from Salt Lake out in there. He was down there, and I don't know how they do it now, but he started with another woman, and they got a divorce, and they kicked him out of that church.
Oh yes,
they kicked him out.
Yeah.
Now you talk about their money. Even though my wife's natural grandmother and her other side of her family became Mormons. And my daddy told me one thing about Mormons, that none of them's ever been on welfare. They take care of their own.
Oh, they do. They do. If they start taking care of their own, and then...
But they send you a bill what you owe to
them. They will. By the way, that meeting at Earl Street, and I got it in yonder, I was talking to Stephen Clyburn, and I was walking by the table, and I sometimes pick up things, especially when you got a letter that says this is the new pledge card for 2016. So I picked up the pledge cards. That's how they do the budget and that kind of thing. But no, the Mormons do, and it's a lot of works. It really is a lot of works based stuff. You're expected to do these works and to give this money and to give of your time and those kinds of things. Really, the only evangelism and proselytizing that is done is done primarily by those missionaries. And they will talk with you, but they don't try to force you or force the hand.
Well, they didn't. I mean, that was important. As I say,
don't like talking to me.
Money was involved. But they might have talked among themselves. I never heard them discuss their church or whatever, you know, anything like that.
But, of course,
it was all business.
I don't know if you've noticed, but for several years now, there will be commercials on TV are you hurting? Are you in need? Do you have this going on in your life? Do you have that going on in your life? Is your family falling apart? Well, contact us and we have the answer. We'll show you in the Bible. And at the bottom, it'll be Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And they will use both of these.
I never signed one with confidential paper that time. I never signed it.
Farrah Fawcett?
Yeah, but they claim at her funeral they only had the son, but now those people they claim her daughter was down there. Never heard.
But they will use both of these. They'll use the Bible. They'll use the Book of Mormon. But supposedly the Book of Mormon that's where Jesus did come to this continent to share with the lost tribes of Israel who had come over here in wooden boats. Eons before, and were shipwrecked over here, and were living over here because when Jesus said, when Jesus says in the New Testament, I have other sheep who are not of this flock, they weren't just talking about Gentiles according to the Mormons, they were talking about those lost tribes of Israel who were over here among the Native Americans.
You were at the gas station pumping.
That was Jehovah's Witness.
Not Mormons, Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, I forgot.
Jim? You were going to say something a minute ago?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you were.
I was, but I forgot.
Catching over there,
ain't
it?
Yeah.
We're on the road.
We
just find those plates or writings or whatever.
He was led by Moroni and dug them up out of the earth.
I know, but where?
They were buried. They were in New York. It's New York State. New York State. They were not at Salt Lake City. No, they actually thought that Indiana was going to be Zion, and then when they got persecuted and run out of there, they went to Missouri, and they thought Missouri was going to be Zion, and they got persecuted and run out of there, and they ended up in Salt Lake City, and they didn't get run out of there. I think population in Salt Lake City was probably like it is in North Dakota. No. Well, the Book of Mormon is a sacred record of peoples in ancient America and was engraved upon sheets of metal. Four kinds of metal plates are spoken of in the book itself, and then this is their introduction. Talks about it. The plates of Nephi, the plates of Mormon, the plates of ether, and the plates of brass. So. Yes.
We're going to have three girls. I'm definitely coming. Y'all
will. Maybe what I was saying, that they have this thing here on how to witness to Mormons, but basically they pursue perfection.
Oh, they do. And primarily through works. Become a god. And see, Moroni actually was a prophet and a high priest who sealed up the record in 421 A.D. and died. But then he is resurrected, or he's in the presence of God, and he is sent in his resurrected form to Joseph Smith in the 1800s.
We've all been indoctrinated in this and that, and I've been brainwashed into Baptist faith and everything else. But if you step back and look, I think that our faith, and I guess they cannot buy it, it has a certain peace to it. And it's not powerfully, pushed on you or anything like that. And it just seems like there's too much dogmatism and all these others and everything else, and this, that, and the other. Now, where did he get this from? This guy you're talking about.
And he showed up, mate.
And you've got the Islam religion of Muhammad going here, there, and being thrown out of town.
Well, and not only that, something else that, the Kaaba actually was where the Kaaba was supposedly built by Abraham and Ishmael. And while Sarah and Isaac were exiled to Palestine, Ishmael and Abraham were in Mecca and built the Kaaba. It's kind of interesting when you read that, and they said, what happens every now and then, people weren't doing right, so Moses comes along, but then the people forgot about the things of Moses, so David comes along, and then Jesus comes along with something not quite so strict, and so Muhammad had to come along to correct the stuff that had been done to what Jesus had to say by Paul and others. That's what they said. And that... but if you go reading the Hebrew scriptures, go reading the book of Genesis, who is it that gets run off and exiled out of Abraham's family?
James.
No, out of Abraham's family.
Oh, Abraham.
Ishmael and Hagar, his mother. And who stays with him? Isaac and Sarah. Isaac, who is the son of the covenant. In the Quran, it's Isaac and Sarah who are exiled into Palestine, and it's Hagar, Ishmael, and Abraham who stay in Mecca, and Abraham builds the Kaaba.
I read somewhere that the Kaaba is a stone.
Yes, a meteorite.
A meteorite that is supposed to be worshipped when Allah was a moon god before.
Well, and Allah doesn't mean God, it is the God. It's made out of two Arabic words, but yes, but it's the God. And they say that Jesus was actually a Muslim, because when he says, was asked what's the greatest commandment, he quotes the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you should love the Lord your God with our heart, soul, mind. They say, see, Allah is one. There is no Trinity. But anyway, we mix up Mormons and Muslims. They both start with an M, right? Anything else before we... Right. Well, we did, and
some of, I think the others to me have become more exaggerated.
Well, and there are actually folks who say that at Pentecost, where you got all the languages that hear the one story, is a reversal of Babel, where you had one language and then you got all these different ones. But anything else? Anyone else? Okay.
What are we doing next week?
I don't know. I'll draw one out of the box unless you. I will take suggestions from anyone, even Ed. Yes, Al. That's right. Next week's Mother's Day. Thanks. We won't be doing it next week. Thanks for reminding me. The 15th will be the next time. So that gives you plenty of time to think of something to put in the box, and then we'll pour one out. Okay. Thank you all. God bless you. Go in peace and be careful.